This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Booksplode, Green Lantern, Earth 1, Volume 1. Fanboy Booksplode. We're talking about Green Lantern Earth 1, Volume 1. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I am here with Josh Flanagan.
Hello.
And this is Booksplode, the iFanboy review show that the patrons unlocked, where every other month, Josh and I, or some combination thereof, look at a collected edition, a graphic novel, a trade paperback, however you want to call it, some long-form comic we don't normally have time to talk about on the regular show. So thanks to the patrons for unlocking that. We like these shows.
I agree with you. I think that's exactly what that is, and that also we like them.
This month, we're talking about, as I said, Green Lantern Earth 1 Volume 1, the latest in DC's Earth 1 line. And this one is written by Karina Becko and Gabriel Hardman, with art by Gabriel Hardman, colors Jordan Boyd. They're the team that does Invincible Republic, right? Jordan Boyd does the colors on that?
Invisible Republic. Yes.
Big fans of Gabriel Hartman's work. Him and Karina Becko write great stories together. We like Invisible Republic a lot. So I was excited to hear about this when it was first announced because reimagining Green Lantern seems right up Gabe and Karina's wheelhouse.
You know, I didn't think it did until I read it. And then I thought, oh, okay, I see this. I completely see this.
It's very science fiction-y.
Yeah, but there's also like a social component to it and a... Anyway, we'll get to that.
So the Earth One line from DC was started, it was like 8 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, I have no frame of reference for that at this
point. Have you read any of them?
I know I read the first one.
Wow, yeah. I guessed eight and it was eight. The first one came out in 2010.
Was the first one Superman?
Superman, Earth One, J. Michael Straczynski, and Shane Davis.
I did read that.
They've done three volumes of that, apparently.
And did Straczynski write all of those?
Yes.
And I may have read Batman.
Batman Earth 1 came out in 2012. Jeff Johns and Gary Frank. They did two volumes of that. Volume 2 came out in 2015. They did a Teen Titans Earth 1 in 2014, which I did not read. They did a Wonder Woman Earth 1 with Grant Morrison and Yannick Paquette. I should say
that. Adam Hughes was doing that. That's a joke.
The Teen Titans one was written by Jeff Lemire and art by Terry Dodson. And then Green Lantern Earth 1 came out this month. And they've announced Aquaman Earth 1 by Francis Manapal. We'll see if that ever comes out.
So this is almost like their long-form Elseworlds.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of their prestige. I mean, all these books feature prestige creators. The whole point is to retell the origins or early adventures of these characters free of continuity. Of course, it's DC, so it's on Earth 1. It's an official Earth, as we saw in that Multiversity Handbook. But it's continuity-free.
So this is the same world as the other books, then.
I mean, I guess, but it doesn't really seem like it. So I don't really worry about it. But, I mean, technically speaking, yeah. But, Like, I would be hard pressed to say this book takes place in the same world where there's a Superman.
Yeah, because it seems like a lot of bad stuff went down.
This is a retelling of Green Lantern, Hal Jordan's origin. And what's interesting about this one is it might be the most, and again, I haven't read Teen Titans Earth 1, but I have read Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman. And this seems to be the most true to the premise in that it feels like a real reinvention. Whereas Superman is basically the same other than a few cosmetic changes. Batman is basically the same other than a few cosmetic changes. Wonder Woman is basically the same. This feels like a true, let's reimagine, if we made Green Lantern today for the first time, how would this look and feel and work? And I mean, you know, Hal Jordan, spoiler warning, says Hal Jordan was originally in the Silver Age, a Chuck Yeager-esque test pilot who came across Abinsur and found the ring and trained on Oa and became a Green Lantern. This is, again, the constant through this all, Josh, is that Hal Jordan, down and out. Down and out in his job. He once was a NASA astronaut, but he is now a deep space miner who is searching asteroids for big deposits of ore for the Ferris Galactic Company. And here stumbles on a ship on an asteroid that turns out to be Abinsur's ship with a disabled Manhunter robot and a dead Abinsur. And he finds the ring, but it does not unfold from there in a way that's all that familiar to Green Lantern readers, I don't think. It's very different.
Well, I mean, there was no Volkov, for example. And the hapless Russian thief, sort of.
But here, the Green Lantern Corps is more of a myth. They're a broken regime. They are not patrolling the galaxy. The rings that are out there are barely powered because the main battery in Oa is thought to be destroyed, and there isn't like a support system. He meets Kilowog, but Kilowog isn't the all-knowing Green Lantern trainer. He himself knows nothing about the Green Lanterns either. I liked that aspect. The Green Lanterns were as broken as Hal was in the beginning.
And the Manhunter.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting about it is that while those things are different, it really does still follow very main broad points of it. It took what Green Lantern was and it made it into something new, but not unfamiliar.
Sure, it has the elements.
Except the thing that I really liked is that I think in this, the real big twist isn't so much the timeline of Oa. It's that the ring didn't choose anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's that he happened to find the ring. In fact, he didn't find the ring and he didn't take the ring. He ended up with it. It was a mistake. He just happened to get it. Same thing with all the other people, which is the real big diversion from the Green Lantern thing, is that you are chosen for your great willpower, or if you expand that, your greed or your whatever else there is.
This is just random. We could have been following Volkov here.
Which is a really interesting sort of approach of a worldview, I think. I think that's the big dramatic choice of this. Because, you know, Hal Jordan's Hal Jordan. You recognize that character.
Yeah.
It wasn't being written unlike the person we knew. His morals and his ideals are sometimes a little too much for everybody around him. And
he has a beard, Josh.
Well, that's more like neglect.
Well, I don't know. By the end, he's got like a fully manicured, like the last panel, he's got like a nice full beard. And also, there isn't really like a Green Lantern suit. It just sort of puts the logo on whatever clothes you happen to be wearing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he was wearing his spacesuit. So it kind of looks like he has a uniform, but not really. And it's also white and black instead of green. I really like the story. You know, that they haven't planned a volume 2. Karina and Gabe have said publicly that they would love to do another one if DC would ask. Mm-hmm. Asks. This one feels crying out for a second volume.
Oh, sure. And I hope that the readers justify that. And I guess I'm giving away my feelings a little bit. But, I mean, the fact is, I didn't know what to think of this. I'd known about this for a while, and I thought that's going to be really cool. But I didn't really know what to expect from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm thinking about it, Gabe and Karina have done a lot of stories, and I can't think of a long-form superhero story they've ever done before.
Together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or one that Gabe wrote, or she, I know she wrote some superheroes.
They tend to do like sci-fi licensed books,
Planet of the Apes. They did their own book.
Yeah. Crime stuff.
I didn't know what it was going to be. And whenever that's a thing, even if you have ultimate faith in the creators, which I do, you don't know if it's going to be a fit.
Right.
And what I found as I was reading it was that it flowed really nicely and I was going along with it and I was like, that was good. And it was, you know, I read the whole thing in one sitting. I was sleepy at the time, but I wanted to make sure I finished it. I'm always sleepy. That's not like a thing.
You're like the Hulk. You're like, you're Sleepy Hulk.
Yeah. At the end, I was like, yeah, I do want to read more of this. And there was lots to think about, not only just in comparing and contrasting, which is sort of an easy thing to do, but the way this little world was built up and how they've shifted it and what they're trying to say about Green Lantern, basically. And I found it really interesting. And I think the thing about Gabe's art is that, you know, anybody who listens to the show probably knows about this. I've certainly talked to them about it. He's a storyboard artist. And so the art tends to flow really smoothly. Like, I didn't find myself poring over it because the storytelling works so well that I was just reading the thing, you know. And then sort of only when I'd stop to slow down, I'd look at it and go, oh, it looks really good. Like, I like what that's like. It.
Oh, there's a couple of really great pages and panels.
Sure. No, it totally. But I'm just like, it just read really well. And I just found myself sort of breezing through it and really enjoying it the way that you're supposed to. I mean, that's, I think, the function of a comic book.
There was only one sequence that I had to go back at. That was where they used the power battery, the main one in O, which turns out is not destroyed, to defeat temporarily, drive back the Manhunters. But so they were going to blow it up and kill everybody on the planet, including the Manhunters, and they decided not to do that. And they're going to do it using physics. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to them doing something. They don't explain what the thing is they're doing, and it kind of looks like the original plan to begin with, but it's not the original plan because not everybody died. I respected the idea they didn't explain it, but also I was like, wait, what did they do? They just blew up part of the planet? I just had to go back and reread those two pages, which wasn't that hard because there was no dialogue.
Right.
That was the only part where I was a little tripped up on what exactly had happened, but that wasn't a big deal.
I think overall, and I always appreciate this, is that I can be familiar with all the elements. Oh, that's a Guardian. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to expect. I can be, you know, I can say, oh, that's Kilowog, but I don't know what to expect. You know, I don't know where that's going to go. You know, there was that one, I don't know what the equivalent is, but that one little furry dude who like had the ring, but was acting like it belonged to his partner.
Yeah.
And then after they left, he sort of was like, I do have the ring. I just didn't know. It was like an original story. Like, I didn't know where it was going, and so it kept me curious and interested. And in so much of Green Lantern stories, that's not the case. Or any, you know, sort of mainstream superheroes, that's not the case. Because you know Earth One Superman, you know that for the most part, Superman's going to be like this. Lex Luthor's going to show up. He's going to be like this. Jimmy Olsen's going to be like this. That's what I didn't know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it didn't feel unfamiliar. It's a really nice tightrope, I thought.
One of my favorite things about this was the completely casual way they introduced Sinestro.
Yeah, you're right.
He's the Joker. He's Lex Luthor. He's Hell's Big Bad. And here he's just kind of like, oh, there he is on the side.
He's just one of those guys. And you didn't hit it, you're like, yeah, it looks like Sinestro. I think that's Sinestro. And
then they never say his name. It's not like there's not like a big reveal that Sinestro's there. It's just he's just in the crowd and he has a couple lines and you're like, oh, right, Sinestro.
Yeah.
I liked that. For me, you know, it's a first volume, so there's a lot of setting up the world and the characters. So, as often happens in these things, we get to the end where Hal is, he's not an established Green Lantern because, as we said, the Green Lanterns are kind of a ragtag operation, but he's more confident in who he is. He's more of the established guy. He's got a kick-ass beard. I want to now go forward with this guy and see what's up. What is he going to get into? What is the world? Because we haven't really spent any time on Earth. We spent only the very end on Earth. So what is Earth like?
Because it seems really interesting.
Right. We basically see some flashbacks where NASA gets privatized and turns into a mining colony. And then, but I guess at one point they used NASA to shoot missiles at their enemies. So that's all really interesting. What does that all mean?
There's that big billboard 2 pages from the end, which is Colonel Jask, A Future Without Fear. I want to know that. What's that about?
Yeah, so like, I don't see how this could possibly be in the same world as the other books. You know? So that's what's... It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Not important.
You got Gant that's got that weird box around him. How's he going to get that off?
I was so taken with the idea of the Green Lanterns as a diametric opposite of what they're normally. Normally, they are the guardians of peace in the galaxy, and they are the ones who have been around for millennia, and they, you know, when they show up, it means something. Here, it's like a bunch of ragtag guys. No one's heard of them. The rings barely work. They don't have uniforms.
There was a line where somebody was describing what the Green Lanterns used to be, and they were like, adding order to everything. What does that sound like to you?
Fascism.
That is a great line.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the kind of thing like I would expect that after reading Invisible Republic and even the Planet of the Apes books they did.
There could have been an ape lantern.
Should have been, really.
I mean, really, that's a disservice to everyone that they didn't do an ape lantern because he draws good apes.
You know, but then at the same time, there were really great sequences of, you know, fighting manhunters.
Yeah. No man escapes them. I mean, I just really loved this. I really did. I sat down and read it in one go. I put it down to go to the bathroom at one point, but that doesn't count.
None of us needed that information, Connor.
I'm just saying it wasn't like, I didn't like, you know, I did put it down for a second.
You can't lie.
This is, I'm looking at that page where Hal first has the ring and he destroys the Green Lantern in that space. And he, like, this is a one page shot where he punches, like he's hitting him with the ring and he just explodes. It's just a beautiful, there's a couple of really beautiful pages in here.
Mm-hmm. It's cool too because you've got that, I mean, Boyd has been coloring Gabe now for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they make it work. And it just looks like it's supposed to. And there's a real, you know, like just a really good team on all three sides there.
Yeah.
That is a really good page. I just got to it.
It's just very visceral. This is a cool sci-fi. I mean, Sal Jordan is, you know, he came from the Silver Age. Silver Age was sci-fi infused. And this feels very much like a sci-fi version of Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very much like that. And I know, again, we keep mentioning it, but the Invisible Republic is a sci-fi book, so it feels that way. But it feels like a sci-fi story more than a superhero story.
Hard sci-fi. That's hard sci-fi, right?
Sci-fi. Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there anything you didn't like?
Yeah, like I said, I tripped up a little bit over that one sequence.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, like I said, I really want to know what happens next because it did take a long time to get to the meat.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of setup in the beginning, which I get. It has to happen that way.
I think if I had anything, it was a little bit. You got this Volkov guy who plays a pretty major part, but I don't really know who he is, and then he's dead. So it felt like, why is that guy there? Was it to show just that Hal wouldn't have taken the ring on his own in the first place? Maybe that's it.
I guess that's somewhat pretty important if that's the whole idea, is that it's not about finding the, it's about whoever's lucky or dumb enough to find it.
Yeah, just a little of that. And that might be the case. This isn't really a criticism, but it's a stylistic thing that I wonder if it gets appreciated enough, is that it's pretty subtle. Like
the book?
Them in general, yeah. As a storytelling team, like they do explain things. It's clear, you know what's going on or whatever, but there's very little of that superhero moment or, you know, that explanation. It's pretty subtle, and I'm wondering if you're not into this, if it's going to be exciting enough for you. Like if you don't come to it with, oh, I can't wait to read these people do this thing, which you and I do show up with, so it's not a problem. But like, is this enough to get people excited? And I don't know.
Yeah, like it's more of a sci-fi drama than it is a superhero action story. I mean, there's a lot of action in it, but it's not your typical. It's all couched in, it's in space, it's grimy. Hal can barely get this thing to work right. There's only the barest hint that these rings can make constructs. It's mostly about blasting things with it, like the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different kind of superhero story.
Yeah,
but as we said in the beginning, it's because Gabe and Karina make different kind of. They don't do traditional superhero stories.
Yeah,
and if you're gonna do this kind of thing, that's what you should be doing. I think.
I agree.
As much as I love the Johns Frank Batman ones, but those feel very familiar.
I really like the format, like an awful lot. I don't sit down and read graphic novels that much anymore. So, sort of like sit in a thing and let
six
it,
times
let
a year. Be.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, it was a really fun sort of way to, even though like I was like, I had one hour I could find. It's like, I got to read this book right now. And then I immediately went to sleep. You know? But I was glad I did. It didn't feel like a chore at all, which you shouldn't. That's not good. You don't want to put that on a cover.
No, I mean, sometimes, you know, you don't know.
Yeah,
I
know.
There are definitely a lot of books to read that are chores to get through. This wasn't one of them. There can be a lot of dialogue. I'm opening up a page here where they're at the house of that furry alien Mob Gira. There's a lot of dialogue balloons, but it never felt like that.
No, I never noticed it. You only too much dialogue is only a problem when you notice it.
Okay, if I have one super minor criticism, that would be, and this is just a me thing, like in hard sci-fi, you get a lot of really hard to pronounce names in that locations, you know, and there's a lot of that here. But that's just
that's also the fun part.
Yeah, I like this a lot. It's good looking. I mean, you can tell Gabe really put a lot into these pages.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there was
this high-quality Gabe stuff. Not that you usually get low-quality, but there's a lot of care in here.
I mean, it says a lot in that... I mean, I remember where he told me... I had him on Toxplode a year ago, whenever mm-hmm. it was. I had, and he told me about this, and I was like, really? And that's how I felt. And so I think that's why going into it, I was trepidatious, not because I thought it, but I just, because it seemed like basically all of his and Karina's work was going away from doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, but this seems very much in that,
yeah.
in that zone.
So, right. So they, in order for them to do that, they did it on their own terms, which I think worked really well. So you take like their style, which is pretty established. And then you take these other concepts that we're very familiar with. And I thought it worked. I really didn't want to not like it.
Right.
Like I was worried. I was like, oh, what if I don't like it? Because that's bad for a whole lot of reasons. Not to say I was surprised, but I was relieved. I was like, oh, this was great. This was everything I had hoped it would be.
I'm sure you didn't, but did you read the little one-page thing at the end?
Did I? I might have, but it's very possible that I forgot that I read it.
So after the last page where he says, now we have the tools to help, and he's got the beard, and they show the Hal sketch and the Manhunter sketch, and there's a one-page sort of promotional shot of Hal. There's a one-page Green Lantern Earth 1 by Gabriel Harper and Karina Bekko. That seems like it's their original one-page pitch because it outlines the plot, but it's slightly different, so you can see that it changed... you know, from the course of pitching to the course of making.
Yep.
I like to see. They could have not put that in there, but, you know. And they don't explain it. They don't say, here's our one-page treatment.
Right.
That change is just in there, and it's up to you to read it and figure out, oh, Kilowog didn't die in the story, so this is different.
I'm just looking at the art on the next page, which does not make good radio. The page after that, there's just like four sort of distinct images.
Who are these people?
Images.
It's not Hardman. Well, that is Hardman.
There's a really loose sketch on the lower right that is, I think it is.
It is. It says GH in the bottom of the facing yeah. page. That's a very unlike Hardman sketch.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to say that this is the most successful to the core of the Earth One titles. If you reimagine these characters, this is a thoughtful and well-done reimagining of Green Lantern while still remaining true to Green Lantern as opposed to Batman Earth 1, which again I enjoyed, but was basically Batman, Wonder Woman was basically Wonder Woman, Superman was basically Superman. If you're going to go forward, otherwise, why are these existing? If you're not going to actually do the thing, if you're not going to reimagine the character for this line, then you're just doing origin story graphic novels, which is fine, but that's not what it was originally pitched as. So this is, to me, the most true to the form and one of the better ones, obviously.
Can I just take this moment to, and I've said that, I remember when they did Star Wars forever ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Legacy.
Gabe does the best hard sci-fi spaceships.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's the Ferris 6 right here at the very beginning. I'm just like, that's just so good. And it's clearly like, this dude loved Alien. But, like, it's got that swirling solar panel thing that goes around. It's not aerodynamic. It's got stuff sticking out all over it.
No, it's hard sci-fi. It's not a beautiful ship. It's not meant to maneuver. It's functional.
Yeah, it's so cool. And you see a lot of that in Invisible Republic. I know that in Star Wars, I was like, wow, he can draw spaceships really well. It's just so cool looking.
And even the suits, you know, everything.
Yeah, I love new and new spacesuits. Like, I could watch The Martian just because I'm like, those suits look awesome.
So if anyone has any to sell, reach out to Josh.
Just because I like something doesn't mean I necessarily want to own it, which is, I think, something that our popular culture has mistaken.
Well... I highly recommend it. Should we do ratings on this? Ratings.
Ratings.
I'm going to give it a 4.5 out of 5.
4.25.
All right. Sticking with volume 2, should it happen?
Absolutely. I really want to read that. And I know that it's going to be like
a year away.
2 years minimum.
I was looking forward to this and it met my expectations. And it even exceeded them because the way that they... reimagine the Green Lanterns was so interesting to me and so unexpected was nice.
It wasn't like we're going to get away from what you think of as Green Lantern, but at the same time, it was Green Lantern.
Yeah.
You know, like Garth Ennis, favorite of mine, you know, like he will sometimes do things that will take the piss out of something.
Right.
And then other times he will do, I can't think of an American phrase for take the piss out of. I'm sure there is one, but that one
he makes fun
best.
Of it.
Sort of, or, you know, just subverts what it is. But he can also do it the other way, too.
Yeah.
And this really didn't, it didn't subvert it at all. It was, this is like everything changed around it, but that core thing, and this is what we talk about when we talk about what Elseworlds can be and when they do different versions of Batman, that the core of it is that thing, you know, the core of it is right there. You're it never, at no point did I think Hal Jordan wouldn't do that. Yeah. I thought that's Hal Jordan and all this stuff around is different, but that's Hal Jordan. And that's the thing that you hang on to.
Yeah. And it was well thought out, you know, well, yep. Okay. So
oh, yeah.
How would the ring translator work? What would happen when they ran out of power? And
I loved that.
I like that they just had to charge the ring by holding it to the lantern. They didn't have to make the speech, even though I love the speech.
That's the closest you get to taking the piss out of it. Yes, the speech is stupid. But it's okay.
But I highly recommend it. Green Lantern Earth 1, Volume 1, Karina Becko, Gabriel Hardman, Jordan Boyd. And let's make sure we credit the letter or two. Let's not forget that. Lettered by Simon Boland.
Simon Boland.
Terrific, terrific, really terrific graphic novel. Hope you check it out. If you do, and you want to tell us what you thought of it, you go to ifanboy.com. There'll be a post for this show. You can tell us your thoughts on Green Lantern Earth 1. You can also go there and find all of our podcasts, including our weekly Pick of the Week show, in which Josh and I, and sometimes special guests, review the week's comics. So this is the Unlocked Patron show, which means next month, to go along with it, will be a Talksplode.
Well, it won't specifically go along with it.
No, that's true.
Although I could work that out.
It is the alternating show with this show. 1 month of Booksplode, 1 month of Talksplode. A Talksplode is our interview show in which Josh talks to a creator for an indeterminate amount of time.
So now you should go back and listen to that talk that I did with Gabe, and you can find him subtly speaking about this when he couldn't talk about it.
Comics.
But also, it's like the CIA. You know what? Seriously, if you haven't listened to that and you listen to this, you should go back and listen to that conversation. Just because he's great to talk to, but also he's a super thoughtful creator.
Did you
notice? Fingers in a lot of pies.
At any point in this book, did the action go from right to left?
Action always goes from left to right. And the most important thing should be in front. If you don't know, that's from an interview I did with him many, many years ago. The most important thing should go in front.
Not the back. I like to put it in the middle.
Connor, I can't have it. Stop trying to break comics.
All right. Well, until next time, I guess we picked out our next book split book.
But let's hang on to it for now. We got a long time to.
Oh, that's right. We did pick it out, and I have it ready to go. So we have our next book split book ready to go. We'll give you more of a lead time on what that one is next. Listen to the Pick of the Week show. We'll announce it there. And until then, I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
And I guess left to right is right.
Important in the front.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means, and I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert-extrovert thing, and some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away, and you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.